studio with us, Assembly Member Dee Dee Barrett, who represents us here in the which district?
106th.
The Fighting 106th.
Yes, whatever. Exactly. The Mighty 106th.
You got to get real closer.
The Mighty 106.
Thank you. And that covers, of course, Hudson. What else? What?
It covers about half of the city. Sorry, half of Dutchess County and half of Columbia County. So, the northern part of Dutchess, but it goes all the way down to the southern end of the town of Poughkeepsie. Mm. Then it comes. It's about the southern half of Columbia County, but goes up to the northern end of the town of Ghent. So, I have part of the village of Chatham in the north, and part of the village of Wappingers Falls in the southern end, in the town of Poughkeepsie.
Do you have all of Poughkeepsie?
I have all of the town of Poughkeepsie, the city of Poughkeepsie.
I see.
Which is another entity. Those are two different municipalities. It's very confusing.
I'll say.
And the town of Poughkeepsie circles on three sides. The fourth side is the Hudson River, but the other three sides circle the city of Poughkeepsie. Uh-huh. So
very interesting.
That's the district. It's a fabulous district. It's urban, as we have right here in Hudson. It's a bit suburban in the town of Poughkeepsie, the town that IBM built. And of course, there's some spectacular rural on all parts throughout. So it's a fantastic district. I'm just thrilled to be able to represent it and love just being driving from one end to the other.
And you have an office here in Hudson.
Yes, we have an office here on Warren Street, and we have an office in the town of Poughkeepsie on Raymond Avenue, just up the road from Vassar College.
And your office here is on Warren Street. Is it a Warren Street address?
Yes, it is. 751 Warren Street,
right across 7th Street Park from where we are now.
Right. Just exactly. Well,
my neighborhood, Ellen.
We walked over here.
That's right. And we also welcome Tyrone Stevens. Say hi.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Tyrone is
staff. You sure? You haven't been here that long. I wouldn't be so sure.
Tyrone staffs our Hudson office on Warren Street and is becoming a regular Hudsonian.
Good.
So
we welcome you.
I assume the reason I see him at so many meetings is he's there as your representative?
When I can't be at an event, and we've been in Albany in the month of March pretty much 4 days a week. I was there till after 8 o'clock last night in session, starting the day at sometimes 8 o'clock. So Tyrone steps in and goes to meetings, and that's why we report back. We can have a presence at events, and I can be updated on what's going on.
So basically, you do all the fun things, and he does the grunt work.
I think sometimes it works the other way.
Well, you've been very busy recently, for sure, and one of the things that caught my eye was your involvement with a little booklet called Women's History in the Hudson Valley, 10 Stories from Dutchess and Columbia Counties. How did this come about?
Well, as you know, March is Women's History Month everywhere, and I am, as I think you probably know as well, a longtime advocate and supporter of women's and girls' issues and women and girls. And women's history has always been something that interested me from the time I was a child. And this area in the Hudson Valley is so rich with American history and stories that we're all familiar with. And more often than not, the stories we hear are about the men in the region, our presidents, Franklin Roosevelt and Martin Van Buren, and artists Thomas Cole and Frederick Church. And the stories are centered around, as is most of our history, the stories of the men. And I just wanted to explore, because this area is so rich with American history, where were the women and who were the women? And so we had did a little research and came up with these wonderful 10 different stories, and I'm hoping to do this every year that I'm in office, so hopefully we will have more and more.
You'll add 10 every year?
If we can, yes. And this is our first edition, and we have, it's been really exciting. We're working with the Mid-Hudson Library System in order to distribute it.
Mm-hmm.
This was completely an initiative of our office, and the work and the research was done there. But we reached out to the Mid-Hudson Library System because I'm also a huge fan and advocate of our libraries here in the Hudson Valley and everywhere, to ask if they wanted to be part of the dissemination and distribution of these stories. And they are, and we're working with school libraries as well in my district. And we want girls to grow up knowing that women's history and the story of the women who impacted our lives and our history and the way our country developed is just as important as the stories of men.
And two of them in this collection, though, were wives of presidents.
Yes, interestingly. Well, we happen to be very fortunate here. I was sharing this with colleagues as we just got them printed, just got them, bulk of them this week, and I was sharing them with colleagues on the floor of the assembly today, and, you know, and kind of smugly pointing out, well, I just do happen to have the homes of two presidents in my two counties. Mm. So we are unique, but there's lots of other history. There's a, you know, really wonderful story of a woman painter. There's the story of Mum Bett, who was the first woman, the first slave to win a freedom suit in court to sue for her freedom. There's the story of a number of firsts, women in elected office in Dutchess County. Lucille Patterson, who passed away last year, was the first female executive in the county, first county executive in the state, and the first in Dutchess County. We also have, I believe, the first woman legislator, the first female Dutchess County legislator, Jean Murphy. We have some really wonderful, because Vassar is in my district, some really wonderful stories about pioneers in both their fields, but also in suffrage and women who were Vassar professors in the early days of the college and made their mark in other ways as well. And we have a story of Victoria Simons right here in Columbia County, who was a pioneer in the food movement and I believe launched the Hudson Valley Bounty Initiative. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of really wonderful stories. And
never heard of this Eleanor Roosevelt person, though.
Well, she's one of the little known. So it's a great and Lee Miller, who was a Vogue model and Vogue photographer, who was born in Poughkeepsie. So it's really been fun to read this history myself and understand our district and our region a little more.
And this book can be, you can get it at your local library in the district.
Yes.
Or
how about at your
the
office?
School library.
Can they stop in your?
Yes, people can stop in our office. We have them in our, and we will have them in both of our offices.
And it's what's the number again?
751.
751 Warren Street.
And yes, we hope people will share them with their daughters and their granddaughters and their nieces and their nephews and their sons and their grandsons, because
so basically everyone.
Yeah, women's history is our history, and these are the stories that really made our region and our state.
Yeah, it's incredible the number of really important women that you found that. I mean, you didn't find, but that are in the book,
right? No,
that lived in this region.
Exactly.
This region.
Exactly. Well, it is such a historic region, and the women were there. They really were, and sometimes we don't remember that. But
I love this quote from Cokie Roberts, who wrote a book called "Founding Mothers: The Women Who Raised Our Nation." It was the women who, by insisting that the men come together for civilized conversations in the early Washington dinner parties, helped keep the fragile new country from falling into fatal partisan discord. The women made the men behave. Mm-hmm.
I love that she said that.
Many roles.
Yes, I wanted to make sure we...
Are you looking at me because you think that's what happens here, Ellen? You make me behave?
No, I. It would be impossible. Not in this day and age.
I am beyond civilization.
But
no, my wife does make me behave.
You see?
She does.
It's true.
She civilizes me.
That's a good thing.
It is indeed.
You know, C-SPAN just did a series of documentaries on the first ladies, every single one of the first ladies, apparently.
I heard about that. Yeah, I didn't get to see any of them.
I didn't either, but I'm sure they'll be available someday.
Do you have a favorite, Ellen?
No, I don't have a favorite. I wouldn't play favorites. So
I have to say Eleanor Roosevelt is one of my favorites. I think
that's easy. Yeah.
She, it's, I mean, to represent a district that
where she lived.
was her home, right, is very meaningful to me. And I had the opportunity when I was a little girl to meet her. She, one of my co-brownies was her goddaughter, and she came to visit our brownie troop.
Wow.
So I did.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California, but I was born in New York, and my family, both of my parents are from New York, and I moved back here when I became an adult because I always felt I was really an East Coast person.
So as a brownie, that was out in California?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So what else have you been up to?
Well, we've been very busy right now with the budget process, and this we're hoping to have a finished budget by April 1st, which is the deadline by law to have a state budget. And the process is the governor presents his executive budget, which happened a few weeks ago, and both chambers of the legislature read through and analyze and figure out which parts of it they support and which they don't, and what other things they'd like to see. And then next week, both houses will present their own one-house budgets. And then comes, the great scrum where they work it out between them, and we weigh in and the things that we really advocate for, and as do the members of the Senate. And
are you happy with the governor's proposed budget?
There are parts of it, but I really want to see a lot more money for education. I think that, that we have we've stopped supporting education at the level that it should be, and we forget that, economic development, it's great to throw money at some of these corporations and create incentives and things, but if we don't have good school systems, we're not going to attract families and young people here, and that the schools are about the next generation and the future of our region and our state, and that should be our number one priority.
It was announced recently that you joined the Tourism
Committee? Yes.
What does that entail?
Tourism, arts... Tourism, arts, parks, and sporting events is that committee, and it's the committee that that passes legislation and addresses legislation on those subjects. And given the fact that tourism is such a huge economic engine in our region, and that we have so many state parks and federal parks and local parks, and that we that arts are such a huge part of who we are and what we've always been. Ellen and I were speaking about that the other day, that we don't even begin to give adequate recognition for the role that the arts plays in our play in our state. That all of those things, and of course tourism tourism and agriculture at this point, I think, are Columbia County's really big growth industries.
Right. And can you see those as both forming the basis of opposition to some of the more outlandish proposals that are floating there out there, such as the airport expansion or the power lines, the monster power lines? Tourism can actually, it has in the past, the scenic views.
Absolutely. And those kinds of projects run the risk of destroying the very things, not only that we love about the region, but that are, that are our
economic
future.
Economic generators.
They are absolutely the economic drivers that will really lead us to a sustainable economy in this century, and that's why I've been such an outspoken opponent of the power lines and the fact I understand the need for energy, understand the need to get energy where the populations are, but it should never be part of destroying a region like this that's just so beautiful and so important and is such an economic driver for the right. whole state with its tourism and its farms. And agriculture, we've been one of the great success stories, the growth of agriculture in this region for New York State. I have people given some, my California associations who say to me, well, I hear the Hudson Valley is going to be the next Napa Valley. I think we're better than the Napa Valley,
They got lots of wine.
And we've got some great distilleries and breweries, as well as wineries here. We've got some wonderful wineries, and the growth of these little distilleries is so much fun. It's just a great cheese. We really are attracting, and it's one of the things that's really attracting the next generation. So many young people are looking at farming and food production in the lifestyle that's part of it and saying, this is where I want to be.
Traditional industry has, of course, left the region over time. Do you think those who still advocate for that are just not sort of seeing what's the future, what is, you know, that kind of industry really just is not going to happen here again.
It's not going to happen in the same way. I think if that's their only focus, I think they're missing the opportunities that are, you know, that are right before them. You know, there will be opportunities for other kinds of businesses, and certainly we're seeing nanotechnology and you know, and the microchip businesses in the capital region. But there's so many. I mean, we really have the opportunity for an entrepreneurial and creative economy here, particularly in Columbia County, as well as the farm and food related production and support, and the tourism that comes with great restaurants and beautiful farms and amazing places to see, and the history that we have here. And we need to be intentional about taking advantage of that in the best possible way.
Well, how does what role does government have in that kind of stimulus?
Well, the regional economic development councils that the governor has put into place are funding all sorts of projects across the state. I think, you know, you need local government to and local businesses to recognize what they want to do, and you need to have a plan that says, this is where we want to be, this is what we want to protect, this is what you know, we want to see change, and make those things happen. And the resources are out there. They're not, you know, there's not a ton, but
how do you feel about the governor's tax incentive plan for new businesses? Do you think that's a...
Well, I have some real problems about the MTA area that he's, you know, that he's blocked off, because part of my district, as you know, is Dutchess County, which is in the MTA zone, and the businesses there have had to pay that MTA payroll tax. And right across the river is Ulster County, which is not considered part mm-hmm. of it. So I don't really support a program that will send businesses to set up shop right across the river and not be in my district, where already we have, you know, such great resources and great infrastructure. And, you know, we were struggling with the legacy of IBM that was great in its moment in time, but has been, you know, been basically, you know, disappearing at a alarming rate in the jobs that it supports locally.
So there you have it.
No more questions, Ellen?
Well, I guess we have time for some more questions. I noticed that
Are you thinking of running for Assemblywoman Barrett's seat at some point?
No, of course not. No. I was
just wondering.
No.
Are you?
I was.
You didn't get an answer from him.
Oh, no, not in a million years. No.
I was interested in seeing that you are calling for Buster's Law, or does that law exist now?
Buster's Law exists. We have introduced legislation that will strengthen it, and you know, that strengthening will come from establishing a statewide registry of animal abusers, so that somebody who's got a history can't just move from county to county and be under the radar
like
screen.
People who are hoarders of animals. And
well, who
I guess
really have a, you know, have
hoarders.
A history of abusing. I mean, who really are, you know, have been arrested and have been identified as, you know, as animal abusers. And that's what that, and, you know, we all in this region love our animals. And I think sure people everywhere do, but, you know, there's a lot more animals in
and
a
I
rural
think,
area.
State Senator Kachik's big on this too, right?
I hope that, you know, that she will, there's a bill in the Senate, and it would be great if she's on it. I'm not sure. I haven't looked, but I would imagine that this is something that she would support too. She and I often see eye to eye on things.
Mm-hmm. I'm really happy that you're on that tourism committee, because I think you're knowledgeable in that field, and it's going to make a big difference.
Part of what you can do, I mean, certainly the legislation is one important part, but part of what you can do as a member of any of these committees is increase your expertise and also share your knowledge about your own region, which, mm-hmm. you know, everybody obviously who's a legislator represents a different region, and so we all have different perspectives and we all have different priorities. But tourism and parks and the arts for this Hudson Valley region and particularly Columbia and Dutchess counties are so important. And, you know, oftentimes we do get overlooked. You know, the New York City presence is big. There are arts and tourism and all of that, but we have been increasingly a draw. And you know, I noticed that just recently, Fodor's had identified the Hudson Valley as one of the places to visit that they recognize the
Fodor's,
yes, and. You know, I think increasingly people understand between the walkway over the Hudson, which has been an amazing attraction into our region, to the farms and the growth of the farm-to-table movement and the food producers and the wine routes and the, you know, all of this, all of the things that have come with this boost in recognition of agriculture.
Have you walked across the river, Ellen?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, it's a must-see. It's definitely something to do.
That's on the bridge. You don't walk on water, Tom.
No. No, I meant the walkway that's down there, okay, in Poughkeepsie.
And then, you know, we have so many great parks. We have all these great parks. And you know, and the walkway is actually the newest state park, so it joins...
That's right. It was taken over by the state.
It's a state park, so it joins Taconic State Park and Lake Taconic State Park.
Well, here in Hudson, we have like 4 new galleries within a couple of months. Near your office,
right up here,
by
on
the way,
on the fashionable, what is it? The fashionable East
side,
End,
East
the East End,
End.
And a couple down the street. Dogs of Hudson is closed its retail operation, and within a couple of days, they had rented it for a new gallery.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
To someone who'd been looking for 4 months for a space.
Wow. Well, that's a big space, too. Mm-hmm. That's a very big space. I'm sorry that the dogs have left. Are they?
They haven't left entirely. They're still doing training.
But just not a retail store anymore?
Not the retail store.
I see.
And also tucked away in the L&B factory are all these small companies that suddenly have sprung up. All this has happened to Hudson without government, I won't say interference, but it's just come about all on its own.
Well, Ellen, I have to say, though, that, you know, when government has played a role, it hasn't always worked out so well since... the powers that be have often given incentives to businesses that last maybe 6 months. Have you noticed that?
Oh, you mean through the IDA and tax
incentives? I'm not certainly saying Assemblywoman Barrett has anything to do with that, but some of our other local geniuses.
Yes, I've noticed that. They don't always work. It doesn't always work.
Well, they
work
always
out.
Support the wrong businesses. You know, they keep thinking industry is going to happen, and it doesn't, no matter how much they throw at it.
That's right.
I think that we are seeing that this is the age of the entrepreneur right now,
right,
that we're
right
in the middle of, and that, you know, in the near future. And when you look at what, you know, what 20-somethings are doing, it's, you know, it's there's a whole different creativity and world view and local view that it's not the industrial age anymore.
Right.
It's the, you know, entrepreneurial age. And we are in a perfect place to support that because we've got the most beautiful places to live and, you know, a wonderful city here in Hudson that offers many services that you would want. There's mm-hmm. a few more that we could use,
mm-hmm.
but it's a great place to live and it's not an opportunity to be able to do those kinds of entrepreneurial things and start a business and be creative and, you know, work in the crowdsourcing economy and do things in the way that that the 20-something, the millennials, are interested in doing. And
how open is are your doors to your constituency?
Our doors are always open.
Okay.
We have Ty here, who is always in our in our Warren Street office. We also, as I mentioned, have an office in the town of Poughkeepsie, right up the road from Vassar College on Raymond Avenue. And Kim is staffing that office every day. And I am, when I'm not in Albany, in one or the other. And my chief of staff, Nick, who is a Hudson resident, is trying to keep track of all of us at all times.
I've seen him at trivia night at Wonder Bar.
And he's good at it.
Yes,
he
is.
Tyrone is shaking his head. He can actually speak into the mic if he'd like. The audience, our listeners, can't tell that you're shaking your head. But this station is kind of entrepreneurial. To get back a little bit to the pledge drive. Since we only have a few more minutes, anyone can call 697-7400 and pledge for the station which can use the help?
Well, community supported radio is really a wonderful thing because it's, you know, this is community is what we're all about. I mean, I think that that's what draws us to a region like this. That's what keeps us living in a community like Hudson and in the Hudson Valley, is being part of a caring community, a community where your values are reflected in your neighbors. And it doesn't mean they're the same values, but the values of respect and caring about nature and caring about people. And those are the kinds of things that, you know, that I love about this region. People volunteer at the library, people volunteer for the fire department, people get involved. When we've had these meetings about the power lines, hundreds of people come out. And you know, we don't have hundreds of people within a few blocks the way you do in, you know, in a major urban center. And so it's all about community, and community radio is playing a key part in that. So I congratulate you all on what you've been doing. Is it 2 years now? How many
years? 3 years.
3 years?
3 years. But thank you so much for coming in. And Tyrone, thank you too.
Yeah, that's great.
We haven't heard anything from you, but is there anything you'd like to say before we sign off?
No, the only thing I would say is that, you know, right now, I know that you know, politics can be kind of daunting for people and confusing, and the back and forth between each side. But what we do in these district offices, we really try to make the public policy portion relevant to folks out there. Really kind of connect it to their lives and try to be as helpful as we can. So if people think there's a way that we can be helpful to them at the state level, we're ready to help.
And that's on a whole range of constituent services. So whatever, you know, whether it's about some service that they're not getting from their utility company, or questions about how to go about addressing some road issue or, you know, street issue. And I mean, the whole gamut. That's what we're here for.
Great. Good to know. Thank you so much for coming in.
We've been speaking with Assembly Member Dee Dee Barrett, and this is the Thursday afternoon show, and we're going to be signing off soon, but we have to remind you a couple more times to call 697-7400 with your pledge, because that's what you got to do to support community radio. What makes it community is that not only is the community on it, but the community pays for it. And you pay for it by calling in with your pledge. Of course, you can go to WGXC.org and hit the donate button. And while you're there, you might even send a little message that you happen to adore Ellen Thurston, because she is the backbone of this station.
Please.
Hey, you got Dee Dee Barrett in here, not me. Nobody wants to come to be on my shows.
Dee Dee Barrett would have come to be on your show. I know it.
Then again,
isn't
I didn't
that
ask.
True?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again for coming in. We actually have 1 minute.
Let me just say that this station is commercial free, unlike some other stations that we know of that are local. We're as local as you can get, but we are commercial free, and your donation is tax deductible. And we are accepting any donation, no matter how small or how large.
What's that number one more time, Ellen?
697-7400.
697-7400. You should be home by now if you were out driving your car listening to the show. So put down that cocktail for at least a couple seconds and call. Call with your donation. Ellen, you want to say goodbye? We have 15 seconds left. Anything you'd like to close out with?
I'd just like to say thank you for listening.
Oh, I didn't mind listening. It was fun listening. Oh, you mean our listeners. I thought you meant me. Okay, here we go.
Hi, this is Corey Sierra from the Group Revealer. We're hanging out with WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
I'm in love with Columbia.